It's my pleasure to introduce to you our grandson, Sue, and my grandson, Ryland Howard. He is a junior at CSU at Fort Collins. He recently returned from a mission trip from Moscow, Russia. He was working with the organization called CRU, used to be Campus Crusade for Christ. For those in my generation, we knew it as Campus Crusade. But anyway, Ryland Howard, we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good. All right. Good morning, everyone. Hear me good? Doing good? All right. Yeah. As my grandpa said, and thank you for the welcome. My name is Ryland Howard. It's nice to see you all. Nice to meet you. Those of you don't know me, Sue and Larry, they're my grandparents. And I just want to start by saying thank you. Thank you to everyone here. I know a lot of you here either donated or just had me in your thoughts and prayers. And that means so much to me and to the team. While we were there, it's nice to know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ back home that have us on their mind and that are praying for us, because we couldn't do that without you. We can't do it without God. It's all through Him and through you guys. So thank you for that. Appreciate it a lot. I want to start by giving you all a little phrase that I said a lot when I was there in Moscow, and a lot of my team members said a lot. And what it is Ya niet gavru paruski. And it's Russian. And what it means is, I do not speak Russian. And so it's very true. I don't speak Russian. And it's something me and the team members found ourselves saying a whole lot, because there's a very visible language barrier there that us, a group of 12 English speakers there with like little bits of Russian that we could read and talk, it was very visible. And we understood that we were not the norm there, and that it was hard for people to understand us, and same for them. And so that was a huge gap that we had to be focused on, but it's a gap that God could bridge, and that He did bridge. And that was something that we had to be aware of, but also trust God in. Because there's a lot of times where conversations we had with students where their English was okay, but mostly not very conversation-like. But that doesn't mean we can't talk with them about the good news, and that it doesn't mean that they don't deserve to hear it. It just means that it was something we had to trust God for, and that we had to focus on, you know, be very intentional about what we say to them and to understand that. So let's just get into it. Yeah. So right here is the first picture. This is our team. There are 12 of us, 3 staff, and this is a picture of us right in front of Moscow State University. This is the biggest campus in like all of Europe. If you want a good education in Europe, this is where you go. You go to Moscow State University, and you can see the huge spires coming off each side, and campus stretches out to either end. It's just massive. It goes either side for miles and miles. It's very Soviet style, and it's meant to be menacing up close. It's huge and supposed to scare you away. That's what they want. But it's also supposed to be like a firm foundation. It's supposed to be something that they want you to be scared of, but go there to learn for and take it seriously. That's something that Russia's very determined to do when you have newcomers there. We can do next slide. All right. So why did and does Russia need to hear about God? This is huge. This is bigger than I thought it would be at first. So I'm going to start with the story. I was coming back for a second semester at CSU this past year, and I was going up to a night hike at Horsetooth Mountain with my buddies Chase and Randall, who both went on the mission trip with me. And my buddy Chase, he turned around on our car ride up, and he said, "Hey, Ryland, do you wanna go to Russia with us?" Because at this point, they already made up their mind about going to Russia, and they had already started raising money and things. And so I looked to him, I'm like, "You know, sure. Like, yeah, I'll go to Russia." And I, at that point, and that was just a snap decision. I didn't know anything about Russia. I still need to know more. But in that moment, it was just God telling me, like, "Yeah, like, let's go to Russia. Let's do that. This is what I have planned for you." And so I trusted Him in that moment, and it was huge. And I'm so glad that I did, because of what He moved in my life and the students there. And so the next question I had for Chase was, so what are we going to be doing there? Are we going to be building houses? Are we going to be repairing churches? Are we going to do things like that? Because I went on a mission trip previously, and that's what we did at a Mexico orphanage. We were repairing buildings, and we were doing things for that community. And he said, no, we're not going to be fixing up buildings or repairing churches. I'm like, okay, sweet. So are we going to out into neighborhoods and like fixing things up there? And he said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to be evangelizing. We're going to be talking about the good news and bringing the word of God to them. I said, okay, I know that's important, but I thought on mission trips, you go, you repair stuff, you fix things, and you know, you repair communities. But little did I know that we'd be repairing communities in a much deeper way, in a much bigger way than what I thought. And it's something that was very needed there. Russia, it's huge how much they need the love of God and the word of God, because most of you probably know, they have not been the most fond of Christianity, and they have not been very kind to people there who try to spread that and try to spread that love. And so it was tough. We had to be careful what we said, but we weren't in imminent danger. We were very safe there. One thing, we weren't allowed to say that we were missionaries. We couldn't say that we were there on a mission trip, especially to authorities, or else they would not be too happy with us, and we could get into some trouble. But all safe through God, we were kept okay with that. And so while we were there, when we talked to students, every time we'd say we were on a cultural exchange, because we'd be very careful with that, and so saying those things. But yeah, Russia, Moscow specifically, they need Jesus. We need Jesus here. We're a messed up country too, but they really need Jesus. The Russia and Moscow, there's a lot of churches everywhere, but not ones that people attend. They attend them for tourist things and not any time for church services. And so it's really sad to see these beautiful buildings meant for God, meant to worship Him, and just sort of go to waste and meant for, you know, not worship service on Sundays. But it was cool to see the huge churches and everything. But the students there in Russia, when we talk with them about, hey, do you want to talk about your faith or anything? They'd be like, well, what is this faith? Like, we're not taught to know this. We're not taught to know love and hope and things. And so we'd ask them, don't you have hope? Don't you have love for the future? Like, isn't there something you're looking forward to for your job or anything? And they said, no. A lot of the students had this answer. I don't hope for a lot, but we don't believe in hope here. And so that broke my heart hearing that, because, and it's hard for me to understand, because coming from a loving community and church family, anyone like this, where we have the hope of Jesus, we have the love of Jesus, it's hard to hear God's creation. These Russian people there say, we don't have hope. We don't have that. And they'd say, I don't want to know about that. And so that just blew me away, that these students, they didn't have this hope and they didn't care to hear about it, because everyone needs to hear about it. Everyone deserves to hear about the hope God had for us and the love He has for us. And so yeah, here's a up-close picture, Moscow State University. As I said before, it's massive. I wish the picture could do it justice, but it's just very tall spires, and it comes out on either side like that. We can do the next picture. And so here is the most famous part in Moscow. This is the only thing I knew about Russia before I decided to go. In the middle, down with the glowing lights, that is St. Basil's Church with the tall spires and the colors. That's the thing you see on Moscow postcards and stuff. And on the left is the Gum Mall, all lit up. It is a massive mall, a bunch of fancy stores. That's where we'd go and meet students if they wanted to meet somewhere and talk with them for follow-ups and such. And on the right, we have the Kremlin. And that's like the main building. That's where all the government officials are, and where they have the churches and other important things. And right there, there's a small building right beneath the main Kremlin spire on the right. And that is Lenin's tomb. And a quick story about that, we got to go into the tomb, and we got to see Lenin, and it was very freaky, I can assure you guys. We went down into there, it gets colder and quieter, you walk down the steps, and there's guards watching the whole time. You can't wear hats, you can't say a word. And so we'd go down, we'd walk down into the steps, and you'd walk up, and then there's a huge glass box, and inside is Lenin, and he's a very short guy, about 5'2", and it's weird. There's a dead body there, and we can't say anything. It's very crucial that we didn't look at the guards in the eyes, because they're very stern about their rules there for that. And it was just quite an experience to see that. I've never had anything like that. And so it was just something I thought I'd share with you guys. But it was an experience I'm glad I had. Oh, we can do the next slide. Yeah.
Yeah. Under glass?
Yeah, yeah. So he's in the glass box and they have lights on him. And they say they spent about $170,000 a year to keep him preserved. And so, yeah, it was a sight to see. It was something. But, yeah. So here is a picture of the Russian metro system. This is one of the fancier ones. They're not all this nice, but this is what we use for our means of transportation there. The metro system there, like, runs Moscow. It gets people there on time. They're very punctual, so that's very important to them. There are just trains that go about, and they come through about every 3 minutes. And they're loud. They're not safe at all. And it was just kind of scary, I won't lie, getting on them for the first time. People are everywhere. They don't care about personal space, but it was an experience. It was good. I'm glad we had it. And so, yeah, we took this everywhere. We went on rides with this with students to go to follow-up meetings. Remember once we went on a long metro ride, and it's a big circle around Moscow. We went on a long one to the other end, way far away from where we were staying with a student, because he wanted us to meet him at his apartment. And so we went. And we got lost a few times, but that's okay. And it's just Crazy, crazy metro system there. We can do the next slide. All right, so this is a church inside of the Kremlin. It's very grand, it's very big, and they care a lot about outward appearances in their churches over there. You can see the gold spires on top and lots of columns and things like that. And so we're allowed to go in these churches, and it was cool, but it's not like a church you'd see here in day to day. We can go to the next slide. So this is a picture. It's not the best picture, but we were not allowed to take pictures, but I snuck one in so y'all could see it. This is what the churches look like. There are pictures and murals and paintings everywhere, all over on the columns, on the ceiling. There's Jesus pictured on the ceiling where there's every chandelier. There is no blank spaces, no white like churches here. They're pretty churches here, of course, but it's very grand there. And there's gold everywhere, real gold. And it was a sight to see because that's not how it is in America. And it's just crazy to see how much they put into these churches, but how little they use them for the right reasons. And so that was just, it was cool to see these churches, but very sad at the same time because they need to use this for God. That's what it's intended for, and they need to use that to spread the good news. We can do the next slide. So here is a picture of us at Gorky Park. This is the team and also a bunch of Russian students and some friends that we had made. So what we would do to meet these students, we'd go out to Moscow State University, that campus you saw, and also Rudan University. That was another campus we went to. And so we went to these universities, we'd go off in pairs to make sure we were safe, and we'd walk up to strangers. We'd walk up to students, and the first question we would ask is, do you speak English? And they'd say, so-so, or something. And so we'd say, okay, good. And say, we're here on a cultural exchange, not a mission trip, can't say that. But we'd say, we're here on a cultural exchange, and we want to know if you'd like to talk about Jesus, about what we believe in and what you guys believe in. We're American students. And usually, starting these conversations, they'd be like, no, no, no. And then we'd say, we're American students. They're like, oh, yeah, America. And so they'd want to talk with us. And their first question is, do you like Trump? And so we said, he's okay. We don't like to talk about it, but he is our president. That is true. And then we'd move on. And so, but it was always a question they had. But yeah, it was great to, as you can see, we met a good amount of students. This is just a picture of one Saturday. So we'd go to Gorky Park every Saturday, and it's the main park there. It's very green, lots of fountains, lots of open spaces. And after we'd talk with these students on campus, we'd invite them to the park, and we'd say, would you like to come meet with a bunch of American students and some other Russian students and talk? Like, do you want to talk about your faith, what you believe in, what we believe in, and do you just want to talk about Russia and America? We'd love to spend time with you and, you know, show you what a loving Jesus community is about. And so usually they'd say, I like this idea, so I think I will go. And that always cracked me up hearing them say that. But it was good to hear because they were excited to talk with us, and they were actually interested in learning about Jesus and about America. So it was a huge, meaningful thing for that. Next slide. So yeah, how did I see God work in the lives of others? This one is huge for me. While we were over there, we had everyone on the team, all the students that went, we each planned a daily devotion, and we spaced it out throughout the trip. And so yeah, we'd all have like a mini Bible study in the morning, and we'd share it to the rest of the group, and it'd be a means of encouragement for everyone. And so we did this in hopes of showing some leadership on the students' end, but also to show that these younger students can encourage others. It can encourage the staff. Like, everyone can learn from everyone. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and so it's very important that if Jesus puts us in this role of leadership, that we need to use that. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter our experience, because God will work through that. And so I did my devotion on the parable of the mustard seed. I'm sure you all are familiar. But this was huge for me, because the previous day of my devotion, it was a rough day. There were not some good conversations. There was not a lot going on. A lot of students turned me down, or they said, no, I don't like Americans. And so it was not the easiest day. But then I did my devotion the next morning, and in planning, I was like, you know, God, I don't know what I need to talk about, but I'm just going to trust you. I need to trust you for this. So I opened my Bible, just sort of flipped through. I didn't know what I was going to do, and it opened right to the mustard seed parable. So we got to there, and I said, okay, that's what I'm going to teach on. And this was a huge turning point for me on the mission trip, because I went from, I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know why I'm here, because I'm not having great conversations, to, wow, I need to trust God, because no matter how small conversations I have, even if I get the thought of Jesus in their head and they turn me down, it's a thought, and it's this mustard seed, and it's only going to grow. And so this was huge for me, and it's huge for everyone else on the trip, because there would be some days where we wouldn't have the best conversations, and there would be some days where the students wouldn't want to talk to us, or they didn't even speak English, and we had that language barrier. But also, it was encouragement for us that no matter how small of a conversation we had, no matter how much faith we talked about and how much we shared with them, it is enough that it gets them thinking, and it can cause a ripple effect, and that they need to hear about Jesus, and they got to in whatever small way it was. And there's a quick story with that. We were talking to our friend Peter, which we actually ended up being good friends with there. He's a Russian student. And we first asked him, like, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? And he said, I believe in him, but I don't know if I really want to follow him. And then we said, okay. And so, but then he made very sure to cut off that conversation. He did not want to talk about it at all. He just wanted to talk about, you know, normal day-to-day Russian-American things. And so we said, okay, that's fine. Maybe we'll bring it up again. And then we got his contact information, but he texted us later that day, and he said, you know, you guys really got me thinking. Like, I didn't think about God before this, but you got me thinking, and I think that I do want to know him. And so this was huge, because here's a Russian student who clearly Christianity is not too, they're not too fond of it there, and it's not something he thinks about a lot, but we got him thinking about it. And it was a small thing, but we planted that seed, and it started to grow, and then it blossomed into him wanting to know God. And we're like, wow, like, God is good. Like, this is crazy. Like, he wants to hear about him. And so we invited him to the park, and he came, and we got him connected to the Russian staff there, and it was just great. It was a great blessing from God with that. Oh, we can do the next one. So yeah, this is a picture at Videnha Park. This is one of the more massive parks in Moscow. There's a gold fountain behind me, and it's real gold. It blew me away how much gold they had there. But there are lots of fountains, lots of museums. It's a lot of Russian history in this park. And it was crazy to see, because they're not an individualistic country. They're very, you know, for the people, for the country, like that. But so that's why they're real punctual with everything. They're real, real stern, and they have their ways, and they're not all about careers and more about working for everyone else. And so seeing some place like this where it's about Russian history and where people can learn from that, it was super cool. And to understand that students wanted to come here a lot. They wanted to understand Russian history, and they wanted to get to know ways where they could do good on their own. And so we met students frequently here, whether they wanted to do for follow-up or just to hang out there. And so we met students a lot there to talk about, you know, what do you know about Russian history so we could learn from you? And then, like, how does that relate to American history? And then how can we, you know, fit God in that conversation? And so I had one conversation with a student here. Her name was Maria. And she ended up being one of my good friends there. And Maria, she was very curious to know about God. She was. And she was a sophomore there at Moscow State University. And when I first talked to her, I was with one of the staff members, Beth. And we first asked her, like, do you believe in God? She said, yes, I do definitely believe in God. And I do want to know him. And so that was very good. It was all right off the bat. Like, she wants to know him. She said, but I don't have the time for God. So we said, well, shoot. Like, God has the time for you. And that's okay if you don't have the time for God, because, you know, he'll work his way in there, I promise. He wants to know you. He does. And so we met with her a few times. And she was very excited to talk about God, and she was very excited to be with a group of Russian students and a group of American students, so we can sort of make her more comfortable there and understand that when she doesn't have time for God, or when she thinks that she doesn't want to know God, like, God's working with her, and that God is there for her, and God has time for her. And so we had a lot of great follow-up conversations with Maria, and she really got connected with the staff there, and it's very promising what God is doing in Maria's life. So, yeah, again, thank you for the prayers, because I'm sure you all played a role in that. And so the more and more we talked to Maria, she started inviting her friends. She started inviting her siblings to the park. And it was great. It was encouraging, because we could see that God wanted to use her, even though she didn't have time for God. He was using her, and she didn't even see it. And so it was crazy, because here's this girl, this Russian student, who's excited but unsure about her faith. And so she used that, and God used that unsureness to grow into confidence. And he used that unsureness to grow into something that she didn't even realize it was growing into, and it was her faith. And so that was it was crazy to see what God can do with so little. And he can. It's just like the mustard seed parable. He uses so little, the smallest seed, the smallest hint of God that she had in her mind, and used that to blossom and to grow. So that was amazing to see. We can do the next slide. Okay, yeah, so what did God teach me? There's a lot. God taught me a lot. I can't lie. And there's a lot of lessons. They weren't the easiest. They were a little hard. But the main thing that God taught me is that there's always, always, always a time for you to bring him Jesus in a conversation. There's always a time for someone who doesn't know about God or doesn't care to know about God to hear about him. Because it's not fair for us as Christians and us who know the good news to be having conversations with friends and family and have these relationships with people who don't have Jesus. They don't have that love. They don't have that hope like a lot of the Russian people. And so they don't have that hope, and it's not fair for us to, you know, withhold that from them just because we don't want to insert that in the conversation or because it might be hard. We're nervous about what they might think. So I want to encourage you all with, there's never, never a bad time to talk about Jesus. There's never a bad time to talk with your friend, with that family member who you don't know if they're on the brink about God or not, but they need to hear it and they deserve to hear it and God wants them to hear it. And so, and that's for all of us. Like, we're our trusty and faithful servants of the Lord, and so that he can use us in every small way that we can to talk about him and to spread the good news. And so that was a huge lesson I learned. There'd be some times where I had conversations on campus, and I'd start off, you know, do you speak English? They'd be like, yeah. So we'd talk with them. And they just really, they weren't about it. They did not want to talk with us, whether it's because we're American or because we brought up God. But that doesn't mean we should stop trying, because God never quits on us. So it's not fair for us to quit on them. And yeah, no matter how much they have their walls put up, no matter how much they don't want to talk about God, we can work our way in. We can let them know that God tries for them. Because usually when people don't want to know about God and they're stubborn to him, when people don't try, they're like, okay, good. God doesn't want to know me either. So why would I want to know him? But when we keep trying, when we keep going at it, and then we keep letting them know that God wants to know them, God wants to know them personally and have a relationship with them, that's when they get to start thinking that, wow, I don't want to know Jesus, but he wants to know me. And that's crazy. It's a one-sided love that can turn into two-sided very quickly because they see how much that Jesus loves him. And that's a huge part in the way we act when we talk to someone, that they can see Jesus' love through us. We talked with one student who said, I don't believe in God, but I can tell that you do because I can see the way that you act and the way that and the things that you believe are things that come from your God. And so I said, like, yeah, exactly. I live for God. And through that, I'm glad that you can see that I live for him, because it's in the actions that we do, the things that we say. And that really encouraged that student to say, okay, maybe I don't believe in God right now, and maybe I don't know if I should live for him, but these people here talking to me now, who invited me to hang out even though they just met me, they have love. They have love for me, and they've never met me. And so that was huge. That was huge. And so, yeah, the biggest lesson is that, you know, everyone deserves to hear about Jesus. And another lesson that I can say is that there's never, ever a time where we should be not weary. There's never a time where we should be hesitant to bring up our faith to your Christian friends and people in your community, because we need poured into just like we pour into others. That's what our community is for. That's why God intended us to have this church, that so that we may be able to talk with one another and we can love one another, so that in the rough times, when we're in the rainy days, that we can turn over to our friend to our right and left and say, like, how are you doing? Are you doing good? Is God working your life? And then we can use that as encouragement. We can use that as building blocks for one another. And so that was huge on the trip when we'd have the rough days. And I'd ask my friend Mary, who was one of the members on the team, and she'd say, you know, I'm sorry you had a rough day, but I want to give you a bit of encouragement. Like, today I talked with a student, and they loved hearing about the Word. They loved hearing about God. And so that was awesome for us to see on the team when we were having these rough times, that we could turn to one another who were having these great times and use that as, okay, God, you're not necessarily, you're working in me, but you're not, it's not very visible. And so it's hard for us to understand. You know, we're not all knowing like God. So we don't know what his plan is and what little things he has going on for us. But it was important for me to see that, okay, today you're not outwardly working visibly for our conversations today. But for Mary over here, or for whoever else on the team, you are. And that's huge. Because whatever thing we can have day to day, it was a battle in Russia. But day to day, whatever we could have, whatever bits of encouragement we could use, it was huge. And so that was just lots of encouragement. But yeah, I think that's the last slide. Yeah, okay. So yeah, so now I'd like to talk with y'all a little bit about Crew. It's the group that I'm in. And that's the one I started doing at the end of freshman year at CSU. That's the reason why I got to go to Russia, the students I met there. So yeah, Crew, it used to stand for Campus Crusades, my grandpa said. And it is about the largest Christian community and campus-wide Christian group they have in America. And so what Crew does, their main basis is evangelize, what we did on the mission trip. And so a big part of that is we go out on campus day to day, or whenever we can, have free time, and we try and talk about Jesus with people. Because just like Russian students, American students need to hear it. Like, Jesus is needed everywhere. So it's huge for us to go out as a crew family and to go out and say these things and talk about God. And in crew, it's just been great to have that family, have that community there, and to have that foundation where I can grow in college. Because college has a lot of bad things in it. It has a lot of times for me to turn to sin, but then I can turn to crew instead. I can turn to God in this community, and it's super encouraging to be a part of that. And so I'm so grateful for that. Yeah. It stands for Campus Crusade for Christ. Like, and that's what it used to be. And so that's just the abbreviated version of it now. But now it's just CRU, crew. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
When did you go? How long did you stay? And what did you expect other than Moscow?
Yeah. So we left at the end of May, like May 31st, and we were gone for 5 weeks. And then after that, me and somebody's had a week in Europe trip. And so while we were there, we were in like right by Red Square at a hostel. And then halfway on the trip, we went to St. Petersburg, which is the other main town in Russia. All the money in Russia is in either Moscow or St. Petersburg. So we went there for a few days in between. So yeah. In St. Petersburg? Yeah, there's a few that we talked to some students with as well. No, not like Moscow State, yeah. Yeah.
Before you even went over to Russia, you first, I did, you know, like, in the news and in movies and all that stuff, you have this idea of Russia being like the brave place.
Oh, yeah.
What was your preconceived notion before you even went there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you're right. I definitely had an idea of what I thought Russia would be like, because I didn't know a lot. But for movies and from anything else, any of the other stuff that tries to portray Russia, I thought that they were very mean. I thought that they were very cold and they were very stern with everything. And there's little parts that are true, but not a lot. Not the way it's blown out of proportion in movies and things. But before I went over there, I thought, you know, all Russian people are kind of, you know, they're kind of uptight. They're kind of mean, you know. They don't want to talk to us a lot. Yeah, they're kind of stiff. But as we got to talk to the people there, you know, get to know them, it was clear that they're, you know, they're just like us in a lot of ways. And they long for relationships and to talk with one another. So it was encouraging to see that, see how wrong I was about that. But yeah. Is there any other questions? They have. It's all rebuilt. It's doing well. It's good to see. Mm-hmm. Yep. No, it's alive and well. It's doing good.
But yeah.
Oh yeah. Of course. Thank you very much. Yeah. Anyone else? All right. Thank you all very much.
Actually, unless I missed it, what was your What was your favorite food?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the main traditional Russian food we had was called borscht. Anyone's heard of it? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. It's beet soup. And I hate beets. But the soup was so good. It was so good. And it was served warm, not cold, but we had it at this Ukrainian restaurant, and it was weird. They had traditional Russian food, but they said Ukrainian, and they made us wear hats. The girls had floral hats, and the guys had fedoras, and we had tambourines, and so we had to play them the whole time we ate. And they had a man playing the accordion and two ladies singing, and they all danced around, and that's what we did when we ate the traditional food.
Are there any fast food places around Red Square? The Americans infiltrated.
Oh, they've got in. There's McDonald's, Burger King, KFC, Starbucks. There's, you know, it was kind of sad to see. I know, we're taking over. But
most of us have a different view of the old Soviet Union.
Exactly.
So we're conquering them. Any other questions? Well, let's pray for Sasiba.
Yeah.
Let's just pray for